Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio. On RNIB Connect Radio. It's all right. It's all
right. Beatles and Here Comes the Sun. Very warm welcome to the happy hour. Polina Kuhorov with you. I'm keeping you company just for an hour today, but I'll be filling it with some amazing music and, of course, some of the best conversations around well-being, wellness, happiness, and all things in between. So if you want to know what's on the show today, what's coming up, well, let's have a look together. And there's a very exciting sailing week coming up in 2023. So we'll be hearing a little bit about that, how you can join in, how you can try out sailing. It's not for someone who is really good. It's for all of us that have maybe not tried it. So if you always wanted to try sailing, well, that's one way to do it. We'll also be hearing about a very interesting exhibition. It's called A Journey of the Mind, and it's all about exploring how Sikh teachings and heritage can help have a positive impact on our mind and on our lives, and how it can help improve our day-to-day, I guess, well-being. And we'll also be hearing a customer story. We'll be hearing from Karen, who will share her story of being diagnosed with sight loss. So we'll be doing lots of conversations about mental health today. And you know what? I'll throw in some really nice music like the Sugar Babes, if you like them, something a little bit older as well. And you know what? I'll give you a really interesting wellness trivia, and it's a lot all about smiling today. So that's coming up later, but first we're going to have Gloria Gaynor with this track. It's Never Can Say Goodbye, and I'm not saying goodbye, I'm here for another hour. Getting very groovy on the happy hour today with Gloria Gaynor. Now we're going to chat a little bit about some ways that you can be physically active, and sailing, it's definitely quite a nice active way of spending some time outdoors. So if you would like to try out sailing because you've never done it before, well, there's a very exciting sailing week coming up next year. It's a really great event, and our Alan Russell has been hearing all about it.
If you are blind or partially sighted and quite like the idea of sailing, even if you've never stepped on board a yacht before, then there is an annual event, the next one coming up in July 2023, that you can get involved in. Now, to tell us more, we have with us Will Bridge, who is one of the organisers behind the event.
It's a pleasure.
Let's get a bit of background first of all, Will. How did these sailing weeks come about?
Sailing for people with a visual impairment has been going on for a long time. We think 30 years, actually, as part of the Royal Yachting Association's commitment to giving access to water sports. And our special interest has always been with visually impaired people and blind people, because of the rather unique facility that sailing a yacht with the sense of the wind and the movement of the boat provides to people who can't see or can't see well, but are very well able to learn many of the skills that are entailed with sailing a sailing boat.
It really is a hands-on event, isn't it, Will? Because everyone gets involved in all aspects of life on and off the boats as well. But I think, you know, it's really important just to remind people this is for complete beginners as well, not those who have a lot of experience on boats.
Absolutely. We take complete beginner crew members on board, and we welcome them very much, and from the very beginning, hands-on. So they will join a sailing boat, typically 30 or 40 feet long, with an experienced skipper and one or two sighted crew. And we will start from the very beginnings, from some understanding of the geography of the yacht, their living arrangements down below in the bunks and in the cabins, and then on to how the boat moves through the water and makes its way to its destination, powered by the wind. All of that's perfectly amenable to a week's cruising down the south coast of England somewhere, and something which people quickly get the hang of.
Now, the yachts themselves, I found being on before, well, they're quite easy to find your way around, getting to know people as well. It's a great atmosphere on board. But again, you know, you really do participate in everything from working with the sails, the helm as well. You know, you're taking the wheel. How does all that work then for someone, say, who is completely blind?
Well, in terms of the sailing of the boat, there are two sets of jobs. One is managing the sails and one is steering the thing. And both are amenable to visually impaired people learning. Sails are pulled in and let out via ropes and other controls, which you can actually sense the power and the feel of the wind coming on or switching off with your own muscle power and with your own ability to trim them. We can teach that quite straightforwardly. In terms of steering the boat, in the open sea where there are no hazards around, you can feel whether you're sailing with the wind or against the wind after not that much practice, actually. You can sense where it's coming from, and if the skipper says, I want you to sail down the wind with the wind behind you, then you can steer a boat. Obviously, if there are hazards around, headlands or other ships or boats, then the sighted person has to assist. We have further aids. We have an audio compass, which enables people to hear beeps, which enable them to sail to a compass course, due north or southwest or whatever it might happen to be. So there's lots of help and assistance which do make people increasingly independent.
The sails last a week and you're living on board as well. So presumably there's different stops that you make where you perhaps all come together. You know, a good social event as well as, you know, really getting stuck into the sailing part of it.
It really is a very friendly social event. You're absolutely right. We only sail for a set number of hours in the day, not very many in the beginning of the week, getting people used to it. And then we gather all of the boats in a fleet together in a harbour. And that comparing of notes and salty stories about their day's experience is part of the big fun of the event and something that people never forget, really.
And it is quite a big event. You know, you have usually quite a few boats that go out in the flotillas as well. So it is popular, but you're still looking for more people to take this up even for the first time.
I mean, it's a big event, 20 or 25 boats typically. So we always, always look for new people who have no experience. Really, the only requirements we have is that we only take adults, people 18 or above. And there's a certain level of, I suppose you call it, agility required. These are not specially converted yachts. They belong to people who the rest of the year sail them and climb over the lifelines and the rails. So we say you've got to be as agile as somebody who can climb over a gate during the course of a walk in the country or something of that nature as a beginning point. But there's not much more that we require from beginners other than that and an enthusiasm to learn.
So 2023, the latest sale will be taking place in July. So what are the details? Kind of where and when does it all take place? Do people kind of just make their way to certain points when they arrive?
The event starts and finishes at a single location. So all 2025 yachts gather in a very jolly gaggle, waiting for the visually impaired and sighted crew to join them. Next year, that focal point is at the Royal Cornwall Sailing Club in Falmouth on the 8th of July, and it runs for a week from the 8th to the 15th of July and returns to the Royal Cornwall Sailing Club in Falmouth. Between that, we will be visiting some of the lovely harbours and bays of the Cornish coast, South Cornish coast.
Well, is there a way that people can get in touch if they'd like more information, you'll find out about cost and so on, and of course the deadlines for applications?
So we open for applications on the 1st of January next year, and we provide information about the event on our website, sailingvision.org. And there your listeners will find, for example, some audio and some video recordings of past events, words from past visually impaired sailors, who some of them beginners, who describe what it's like to first sail on a sailing yacht for a week. And it also has a link to register. Applications open on the 1st of January with the email that we will send out to everybody who's registered in interest, and we'll close just before Easter.
Well, I can highly recommend the week, and I would definitely say to people, even if you've never stepped on a yacht before, do get involved. You'll have a fantastic time. We will catch up again, Will, just before the event kicks off to learn a little bit more about the week. But for the moment, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much to Alan Russell there. Now we are heading to a very exciting exhibition. Next, we're going to journey into our minds. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Over the last couple of years, we've seen mental health come to the forefront of discussion as many of us have struggled following the impact COVID-19 had on our well-being. Well, an exciting traveling exhibition is exploring how Sikh teachings and heritage can have a positive impact on our mind and on our lives. So joining me now to tell us a little bit more is Amit Singh Hundal, Community Engagement Manager, and Sanjeet Kaur Dhillon from the marketing department from Without Shape, Without Form art organization. It is so nice to have you both here today.
Hi, Paulina. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm really excited for this conversation.
So let's start with the beginnings. Let's look at what inspired this exhibition to come to life.
We've actually got a permanent exhibition in west of London. I had no plans for touring or kind of going anywhere further than where it was. And then the world, as everyone's aware, completely stood still for a couple of years, right? The pandemic hit. And then from our perspective, it really highlighted how the world was suffering. It impacted so many people. And so we thought, actually, the world needs to heal right now. And one of those ways for us, in our small way, was to share the message and share the teaching from our exhibition and bring them to everyone. So what we did was we essentially reached out to loads of organizations across the UK, and then Glasgow was so forthcoming with their support, and they were so keen in terms of bringing this collaboration between mental health, spirituality and art and bring it to Glaswegians. The team got together kind of January last year, and we decided to take these teachings and take this on tour, constructed kind of very meaningful and I guess relatable messaging for people to really kind of explore themselves. That element of self-discovery became super important. We've been in Glasgow now, and it's been absolutely amazing to kind of really connect with Glaswegians and to hear them, and then to understand that this intersection between how our mind and our brain works, and giving them some insight into how the two are separate, and giving some people some power back when kind of dealing with kind of mental health and the way our thoughts can make us feel.
So let's talk a little bit more in depth about the actual exhibition. If we decided to go and visit, what does it look like? What can we expect when we come over?
We've kind of coined the phrase of it's an exhibition of self-discovery. And that's really important because this exhibition gives you that time, gives you that space to do some self-reflection and evokes that curiosity about the journey of the mind, hence the title. And, you know, what is the mind? And talking about the fact that we all have a mind, you know, so hence why it's so accessible to everyone, and the teachings, etc., so universal, because we all have a mind. That's a commonality of the human race. What you can expect is like a combination of where art meets spirituality and meets mental health as well. It talks about how the mind is in pain. We don't realize it, but we're constantly thinking. We're constantly, you know, thoughts are in abundance. And there's a study that shows that actually we have 50 thoughts per minute, and we don't even realize it because we become so used to it. And what this exhibition talks about is how we can quieten that internal chatter, so quieten those thoughts, because the thoughts are what creates the pain that we feel in our mind. And what we mean by that is, you know, there's some diagnosis around anxiety, depression, stress, etc. And all of that stems from having one single thought. You know, we take a thought, it triggers another thought and another and another. And before we know it, we're in a spiral of these thoughts, which end up causing our mind some pain. In terms of when you come and visit the exhibition, the most important thing is giving you a tool of how to quieten that internal chatter. And that tool is a focus practice called Simran. And that Simran is all about concentrating on your voice and just only concentrating on your voice. And by doing this repetition of, you know, of saying a word, for us, we say Waiguru, which is our Gurmantra, and we repeat that word, we concentrate on that word, and slowly and surely the thoughts will start to diminish. And that's where we can find actual internal peace.
So it sounds like something absolutely perfect to help anyone that is having that internal struggle or just maybe struggling to calm down and bring, as you said, bring their mind, I guess, a sense of peace. So what about someone who maybe doesn't consider themselves religious? Do you think they would still get value from coming to the exhibition?
100%, but you know, to be honest, that I would say kind of a large proportion of them that have come and visited the exhibition while we've been here aren't necessarily attached to any particular religion. And even calling Sikhi a religion probably does it as a service also. From our perspective, we think of it as a way of life. This is how we kind of navigate through all the hurdles and ups and downs of life, is through the teachings that Sikhi give us. So when people come to the exhibition, while the artwork depicts Sikh history, what the thread that's running through that, the thing that unites us all, is a mind. And that mind that is the one that's suffering. That's the one that needs the healing. And so when people come out of the exhibition, their reflection is, while the art's beautiful, the messaging really connects with them. And it connects them on a very personal level, because it's really highlighting to them that the reason why I suffer is because of my inability to control my mind. And everyone, therefore, has a real instant connection and can relate to that exact bit of suffering. It's been really refreshing that people are open-minded when they come in to an exhibition. I usually speak to them when they're on their way out. The vast majority have really understood that this isn't about religion. This isn't about a particular faith. This is about really identifying what it is to be yourself and what is it that's causing pain.
That's exactly it. And, you know, this exhibition is purely to talk about the pain the mind feels and, most importantly, give that solution that actually we can be free of the pain that we feel. And that happens to be the Sikh teachings, but that doesn't mean you need to be Sikh or you need to be of a faith in order to do this practice. The focus practice is for everybody, and everybody can find that peace of mind.
I know you've also worked to make it a bit more accessible, so someone who is visually impaired can also visit the exhibition.
Yes, 100%. I mean, the main essence of us touring the exhibition is to make it more accessible to everybody. We've tried and we're still learning. Every city that we go to, we would like to obviously adapt as much as we can. But what we are able to offer are audio recordings of the exhibition text. So there's headphones, MP3 players, and you can just grab one of them. You can hear the text that's on the boards. But also there's audio recordings of the artist himself describing the artwork. So you actually get that description as well as what the text is actually saying as well. The text itself, the way it's displayed, there's dark font on light background and also light font on dark backgrounds. There's also different size text, so it's purposely laid out. So the headings are, you know, quite large. Then we've got subheadings, and then we've obviously got the main text. And that's obviously to help with visually impaired community, but also if you were just to take away or just to read or hear the heading, you would take a real strong message away. and you wouldn't, you know, it's not as necessary for you to read all the way down to the bottom. You'd actually take that away. We've got wheelchair access. And then also, you know, our team of volunteers is there readily available to help anybody with any type of disability and help guide them through. We have tried to add some tactile and 3D pieces, and it didn't quite work out for Glasgow. However, we're on the case for it for the cities that are upcoming, where we'll be able to have those 3D pieces. We're looking at adding some black and white 3D images as well, and also having raised QR codes and things like that. So we are working on it to make sure that every community gets as much out of the experience as possible.
Like, one of the initial principles that we had when each one of our teams went away and kind of came up with what the exhibition should look like was exactly us to be accessible for all. Because we've mentioned many a time now that the mind, we all have a mind. The idea, therefore, for every single person to be able to connect in some way was really key, was even kind of at the very initial levels of us even creating the experience. And like Sandy said, we're learning, and the word sick means to learn. So we're continually trying to learn and improve. So, you know, we would love for members of the RNIB to come and to give their feedback, to share where we can learn and improve in the future. That would be an amazing win for us as well.
That would be fantastic to see as well. So let's chat about where the exhibition is now and where it's heading. So it's currently in Glasgow until Sunday, 23rd of October, and it can be visited at the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery. But you're heading to other cities. So where are you heading next?
After Glasgow, we're headed to Bristol, to the Arnolfini, and we are live from the 5th of November until the 4th of December. So that's our next stop.
That's fantastic. And if we wanted to find out a little bit more about the exhibition and your work, where can we go?
We're across all the social media platforms, but the main place would be to head to our website, which is withoutshapewithoutform.com.
Brilliant. And now the exhibition is called A Journey of the Mind. Amit and Sanjeet, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And coming up on the happy hour, we'll be hearing from Karen Wai, who will share her sight loss story. One love, one
heart. Let's get together. This is RNIB Connect Radio.
Yes, it is. And it's the happy hour with Paulina. Now it's time to break up the routine a little bit with a random wellness fact. Now, you know that saying that apparently smiling takes up less muscles than frowning? Well, apparently that's not true. It depends how you smile. If you're smiling with your mouth closed, you're only going to use the muscles in your cheeks and around your eyes. But when you smile big with your teeth showing, well, then there's a lot more muscles engaging, like your forehead and other ones as well. So there we go. It doesn't take less muscles. However, it is definitely beneficial and has been proven to reduce stress and lift your mood. So you know what? If you get a chance, smile for no reason other than to lift your mood. Now let's continue the happy hour with this great track. Here's Billy Joel. Nothing like Billy Joel to pick you up. Ah, love his music. You're listening to the Happy Hour with Paulina. Now, you know we love hearing stories from our listeners, especially when it comes to sharing how you went through the journey of sight loss and how you are doing when it comes to your well-being. Well, today's story comes from Karen Wai, who has been speaking with our Toby Davey.
From time to time here on RNIB Connect Radio, we do like to chat with people generally about what life is like living with sight loss, just to get, an insider's point of view of what life is really like. And I'm glad to say I'm joined now here on RNIB Connect Radio by Karen Wai from the sunny coast of the southeast of England, who has lived with an eye condition for most of her life and was only recently registered as partially sighted a few years ago. Hello, Karen, and welcome to Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby, and thank you for having me.
Karen, firstly, would you mind telling me a bit about how you've coped with the eye condition that you've had all your life and how you became registered as sight loss as a partially sighted person, as I think that only happened a few years ago?
Yeah, I've always been very, very short-sighted. And because I am extremely short-sighted, or I was, I've had like retina tears and I had cataract surgery about 15, 16, 17 years ago. And then I had a macular hole about in 2015. And that was the thing that sort of put everything together and made me, you know, I lost the rest of my sight, lost enough sight that I was registered as partially sighted. My vision is results of lots of operations and laser treatments, stuff like that. So it's not stereotypical what a blind person looks like, but I do use a white cane and I am who I am, sort of thing. I'm very grateful I can see because my dad went blind and my nan went blind. So by this age, so I'm very grateful that I can still see at my age. I'm in my late 50s now, so I'm very grateful I can still see.
What was the sort of crunch point for being registered as partially sighted? What was leading up to that point?
Well, actually, it was I had my operation for my macular hole, which happened after I had a very, very bad divorce and I had to go to court and everything. And so I missed my one time I've ever missed an eye test. I've always gone for my eye test. I missed an eye test this time. And then I went to the eye test and then they were like, you can't see out of your right eye. I just had no vision in there. So I went up to the hospital and they said it's a macular hole. So they did the operation, but they said they weren't going to be able to fix it because they didn't know when it happened, because I just didn't know, because my right eye, you know, it's always been bad, so I've never really used it a lot. I didn't know that it went bad. So when I had the operation, you know, I was signed off and everything, you know, because so I was at the job centre and they sent me on a charity called Action for Blind, and they sent me on a return to work course with Action for Blind. And they said to me, go and get registered, and you have to get registered, you know, via the hospital. And of course, I didn't know any of this. And so that they were really good. And I asked, when I went up to them for my last appointment, I said, can I get registered? And then they took me through all the things and said, yeah, you can. So I did. And I, you know, getting your bus pass is what you need, really, because you're not going to be able to drive. So you need to get your bus pass, and that gives you your freedom to do what you need to do.
I know you have two grown-up sons who have now left home, and I wonder what was their reaction to the loss of your sight, and how did they cope with that, or do they sort of only think of you as what you were like before you were registered as partially sighted?
My sons have always known that I couldn't see. They know me when they were little. I used to wear contact lenses and I used to make them hold the door handles when I put my contact lenses in because I couldn't see until I put my contact lenses in. So they've always known I couldn't see very well. And I got told off once by one of my sons for not helping him look for something because I couldn't see it. I can't see black on black. I can't go hunting for stuff. He said, we should at least make an attempt to go and look for it. And I'm like, oh, why should I? I can't see it. But so they have never really 100% understand where my vision is now, because as I said, it's very different with how it was when they were growing up, because I've had the cataract surgery. So they've seen all the different surgeries, but they're autistic, so they tend to see things in their way as well. You know, when they were little, I could hide it by grabbing hold of their hands if we went into crowds or something. But as they got bigger, they didn't like, you know, someone holding on to them. So now they're 6 foot men and I do grab their arm if we go out together, and they're not very pleased about it, but I'm like, well, I always grab anybody's arm now when I go out because I've got no peripheral vision, so I need to know where they are, otherwise I just lose them in a crowd. So yeah, they don't really understand, but they don't live with me, so they don't have to understand, if you know what I mean.
And I know, as you said, when you were losing your sight, you were going through quite a tricky time at home as well. And I wondered, when all that was happening, was there somebody there for you that you were able to maybe talk to who could understand what you were going through and help you get through not only the tricky times at home, but also the issues around losing your sight at the same time?
Well, I was very lucky. I did find out about the RNIB counselling services. And I got a counsellor within 6 months or so of me. 2016, I think we started working together. And I was very lucky that he was able to take me on privately as well afterwards. I did a living with sight loss course with the RNIB around 2016. And I met a lady called Lisa on that course and a lady called Jackie. And Lisa started following her on Facebook. And then Jackie was a lady that was partially sighted, and she had a guide cane. So she taught me that you could have a guide cane, even though you couldn't, you know, you weren't blind, you know, weren't severely sight impaired. So I got my guide cane, that's been my independence, because I've got, my eyes don't work together. I've got very little depth perception. So that really helps me. And it helps me because, I go blind in the sun because I've had laser treatments. And I've got very little night vision. So that helped me get out and about at night time and stuff. And I sort of started developing my life. And then the RNIB Connect group started appearing on Facebook, and I joined them. Then they started doing the Bournemouth one. So I went along to that, and that's where I met Lisa again, and Jackie was there as well. And Lisa, as I said, she did lots of stuff on Facebook, and she started to do stuff with the Dorset Blind Association. And she said, why don't you come along? And I just rocked up one day, and I happened to be sitting next to a guy called Ian, and he just appeared as well. And we just started chatting, and we've basically become very good friends, and we volunteer for the Dorset Blind Association. Ian's wife's called Karen as well, so we're surrounded by Karens. And over COVID, we still ran a film group for them. You know, it took a little while to jump into the blind world, but once we did, we were like, bye, we're running, we're going, yes, we'll do this, yes, we'll do that.
Karen, if somebody is listening to our conversation now who might be struggling with their sight loss or know somebody who is, what words of support and advice would you give them to take those first steps on reaching out and asking for help?
I would say, the hardest thing is to accept that this is it, this is your life, and it's a new world. And when something happens to you, you enter a new world. It's always been there, but you just never knew it existed. You can dip your toe into it. You can go on the Facebook groups, you can listen to Connect Radio, or you can really immerse yourself in it and really enjoy it, or just come in and out of it as you need to. There'll be people your age always in there for you, which will understand where you are, where you come from, where you're going to go. And it's quite powerful to meet somebody that's lived your life. So yeah, that's why I think it's good to get involved.
If you'd like to find out more about the Facebook groups that Karen's been chatting about, you can go to the RNIB website, that's rnib.org.uk, or you can call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. Well, thank you very much indeed, Karen Y, for sharing your life living with sight loss with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Toby and Karen. Now, we still have a couple more tracks. The last one will be, of course, our music therapy moment, a track that means a lot to our listeners. And this week's track will be presented by Amit from Without Shape, Without Form Art Organization. He'll be here in a moment after this lovely track. Faith Hill and This Kiss, bringing us almost to the end of today's happy hour. Thank you so much for listening. I love having your company. Remember, if you liked any of the interviews or really enjoyed them, you want to share them, we're online. Just search for RNIB Happy Hour Podcast. You can catch all the previous episodes there and all the new ones as well. You'll never miss one. And again, it's time to have our music therapy moment, and today's song has been chosen by Amit from Without Shape, Without Form Art Organization. So I'll let Amit play us out.
Hi, it's Amit Singh from the Journey of the Mind exhibition at Kelvin Grove, and my song choice for this week's music therapy moment is this instrumental melody. It provides peace and clarity for Simran, a focused practice for the mind. Hope you enjoy it.
You are listening to the Happy Hour Podcast, a trimmed-down version of our hour-long show. If you've enjoyed the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, thank you for listening to the Happy Hour Podcast.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.